So thankful we don't have to face that because He was there. He was there in my life. Was it there in yours? But it's good to be reminded. It's good to go back and remember. It's good to go back and think where you would be. God wants us to. That's what I'm going to preach about this morning. He wants us to remember some things, but He also wants us to forget some things. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Let me read this passage of Scripture to start. Hebrews chapter 11. As you find in Hebrews 11, let's all stand for the reading of the Word of God. Hebrews 11. I'm going to start in verse 11. And I read down through verse number 16. You follow along in your Bibles. I read aloud from the Word of God. Hebrews 11, verse 11. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who hath promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, for this church. Thank You for Your Son who died for us, God, the blood that was shed. Lord, thank You for Your Word that we have this morning, we just read from, and how Your Word speaks to our hearts, God. And we ask You this morning, Lord, the message that You've given, Lord, I pray that You would empower it. Lord, I pray that You would not return void. I pray that You would speak to each and every heart this morning. Give them their need, God. I don't know, but You do. You know what each and every one of us need, God. And I pray that You'd meet that need this morning. Fill us now with Thy Spirit, God. I need You. We all do. Meet with us this morning. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. I want to draw your attention to that verse 15. That verse 15 says, "And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned." If they had been reminded, if there were things in their life to remind them of that past life, of where they came from. God wants us to forget that old life, but not forget where He brought you from. You say, well, that makes no sense. You know, we need to remember that we were once dead in our trespasses and sins. And we need to remember that God brought us to life, that God gave us life, but yet we don't go camp out in that old graveyard. We don't set up a mailbox there. God wants you to remember where He found you, but He wants you to forget that old life. He wants that to die. He said in that verse, "And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out," He's talking about Abraham there and Sarah and the seed that came from him, that said it was innumerable as the sands of the sea and the stars of the sky. But there's one thing you don't find is Abraham telling it Isaac and telling his grandchildren, yeah, back in the early of the Chaldees, this is the way it used to be. No, he didn't try to remind him of that old life. God brought him out of that. And God gave him a new city and a new country. And God says, I want you to forget that. Because if you don't, that seed may want to go back. That seed may say, I'd like to go back and see grandpa's old life. I'd like to go back and see dad's old life. I'd like to go back. I'm getting a little ring. Are you all hearing a, I don't know if I need to switch mics, I'll do that. But if you remind them of that, the Bible says they might have opportunity to return. And I want to say that this morning that God says there are some things that we need to forget. You understand a little bit as I get into this message, but I want you to turn with me also to 2 Peter. And I apologize for the cough, as I mentioned, this time of year, I don't know if any of y'all deal with ragweed, but 2 Peter chapter number 1. Verse 5 says, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you should neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and listen, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. So God says, we also have a problem with forgetting. So I say, well, that makes no sense. You're saying God says he wants us to forget, but yet we have a problem with forgetting. 1 Corinthians, turn with me one more verse here, and I'll get into my message, building up an introduction here. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. Verse number 9. He says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And verse 11, and such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. I'd say some of you forgot where you came from. No, be not deceived. Know ye not that these shall not inherit the kingdom of God, but such were some of you. You used to be that way. So I'm saying God says that we have a problem with forgetting. But you're saying, well, you said God wants us to forget. God wants us to forget. That makes no sense. I titled this message, Don't Forget to Remember, but Remember to Forget. Don't forget to remember, but remember to forget. Turn with me to Joshua 4, and we'll spend the rest of our time here in Joshua chapter number 4, and I'll explain what I'm talking about. There are some things that God wants us to forget in our life, but there's also some things that God wants us to remember, because if we forget where we came from, sometimes we look back at people that are in that spot where we once was, and we look down on them. We look down on people, and we don't reach out to help them and say, hey, I've been where you were, and God changed my life, and God will do the same for you. We forget that, but yet God also says, I don't want you to think so much about that past life, to think about the things you used to do. That song we sing, the places I used to go, the things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. There's been a great change since I've been born again. We ought to know that there's been a great change. We ought to be reminded that we once were these things, but not sit there and think about, yeah, those were the good old days. Those were the good old days. The good old days, really? I'm not going to get into this passage of Scripture, but if you remember the children of Israel as they were traveling out of Egypt, they were slaves in Egypt. Slaves. And God set them free. And God had a home prepared for them, a city, a land that was going to give to them. And they were following God, but they had to go through some hard days to get there. They had to go through the desert. They had to go through the wilderness. They went through times when they were hot and they were thirsty. They went through times when they were hungry. And they started thinking, you know what? Back in Egypt, it was good. Really? Really? They'd forgotten. They'd forgotten the things they should have remembered, but they remembered the things they should have forgotten. They were thinking about cucumbers and leeks, and they were thinking about all the plenteous and the crops in the land of Egypt, but they forgot they were slaves. They forgot they were being whipped. They forgot they had the taskmasters that were above them. They forgot about that. God set them free. And they said, oh, that we would die in Egypt. Oh, that we can just go back to Egypt. How sad. We read the Scripture and you think, what? But yet sometimes in our life we do the same thing. God brings us out of the muck and the mire, cleans us up, and we go through a hard time in life and say, oh, to go back to that. Really? To go back to the muck, go back to the mire, go back to the pit that God found you from? So don't forget to remember, but remember to forget. Joshua chapter 4, let me read this passage of Scripture with you. Let's start in verse number 1. I don't plan on being long this morning, but God has just been speaking to my heart about this passage of Scripture. And as I studied it, I really didn't know where God was directing me. I saw something in here this week that I'd just never seen before. I never noticed it. I don't know why. I just read it and thought it was talking about something else. And then I'm thinking, well, it's not saying what I'm thinking it's saying. Sometimes we think God misplaces words, don't we? We read it and say, well, I think God meant to say it this way. And God's word is perfect. God's word is perfect. If it says it one way, that's what God meant to say. And there may be something in there that you just might have to study a little more. Might be something in there you just have to dig a little more and say, God, what are you trying to say here? Joshua chapter 4, verse 1 says, and it came to pass, and this is the story of them crossing the Jordan River. Now Moses is dead, and God's saying, Joshua, you take the people across the Jordan River into the promised land that I told you about. Now it's finally time to cross over. Now it's finally time to go in there. And they're here. And they crossed over the Jordan River. It came to pass when the people were clean passed over Jordan that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take ye 12 men out of the people, one out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, take ye hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones. You shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. So if you don't know the story, the Jordan River was overflowing its banks. And God says, you're going to cross the Jordan River. You're going to take the priests. They're going to carry the Ark of the Covenant. And they're going to go walking towards the river. As soon as the soles of their feet touch the river, it's going to stop. It's going to roll back, and it's going to stand up on a heap. And that water is going to stand. The water from there is going to flow on. And that water is going to hold there, and you're going to cross on dry land. You're going to cross this raging river on dry land, but you got to do it by faith. So the priests were carrying that ark. They walked forward, and as soon as they touched the waters receded and stood up on a heap. The rest of the waters kept on flowing. It dried up there. The people walked across on dry land, but the priests went out and stood in the midst of the Jordan holding that ark and let the people cross. And they stood there. And God says, I want you to get a man, one from each tribe. We know there's 12 tribes. Get a man, go out there and get a stone from the middle of that river. It used to be a river. Now it's dry land. But go out there and grab a stone. Those priests are standing there. God's keeping the waters while they're there, keeping the waters back. Grab a stone and bring it across. Bring it across with you. So they did. Keep on going. Verse number 4, Joshua called the 12 men and went, and he had prepared of the children of Israel out of every tribe of man, and Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan. Go back in there. Go back where the priests are, and take ye out up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for memorial unto the children of Israel forever. So take these stones out from the river, from the middle of the river, which is now dry, and you bring those stones across, and you set up a memorial. You set up a memorial where we're going to camp out this night, and then leave it there forever. When your children and your children's children and whoever sees these stones stacked up as a memorial, they say, what's this mean? Why are these stones like that? And you can remember, and you can remind your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, the story can go on forever, of what God did for you this day. See, our memory's a funny thing, ain't it? We remember things that we don't want to remember, and we forget things we do. You ever do the ribbon on the finger? I don't know if every of y'all try that, but that used to be a thing back in the day to say, tie a ribbon on your finger. When you see it, you'll remember, oh, yeah, I reminded myself about something. That's just something, I don't know if people really did that, but it was something to do to remind yourself, there's something I need to remember. And even with that, my mind just so often can just go blank. I used to write on my hand, you know, a couple words or something that remind me. Anyone else ever done that? You write on your hand? Well, I don't do it anymore because most of us got one of these things, and it has something in here called notes. But I don't sit there and type a whole paragraph to remind me of something. So I'll write down a couple words, especially with sermon ideas or something. I'll write down a couple words and maybe a verse. And I'll go back later and look at it. And I'll read it. I'll look at my note and I'll read it. What was I writing? You know, what did I mean by that? You ever done that? Am I the only one? It's like, why did I write that? What was I thinking? And I know it was important because I said, I want to remember this. Let me write it down. Let me keep it so I would remind myself. And I read it, what in the world was I thinking? And I get so mad at myself because my memory, I want to remember, but I forget. You ever forgotten an important date you're supposed to remember? Anniversary, birthday, something like that. Don't raise your hand. But our memory is just some things that are important to us. And we said we want to remember, but we forget. But yet, you ever go into a store and it's playing an old song you used to listen to, something years ago, and all of a sudden you start singing along with that song. It's still in there. You're like, I don't want to remember this. That's the old life. That's the country where I came from. But yet you can sing every word to it, can't you? Start whistling along and you catch yourself, what am I doing? Remembering the stuff we don't want to remember, but we forget the stuff we do. And God said, Joshua, get these stones. We look at the front of this table here. What's it say? This do in remembrance of me. Well, this is saying that Jesus died for us, and we got to remind ourselves the great sacrifice, that great transaction we sang about that Jesus did, and yet we forget. And God's saying, I want you to do something to remind yourself. Remember what I did for you. Remember that blood that was shed on that cross. Remember that body that was broken for you. And we try to do this once a month. Some people may do it less, our churches may do it less or more, but we try to do it once a month. We want to get back into that where every month we say, you know what, we're going to take time to remember. Remember the things we're supposed to. Remember that we were once lost. We were once dead in our trespasses and sins, but God found us. Get those stones, Joshua. Get those men to bring that out. Remember, this isn't your land. I gave it to you. This isn't where you belong, but I gave it to you. It's yours now. You were in that slavery. You were back in Egypt. You were on the other side of Jordan, but yet I brought you here through miracles, through miraculous, and you're going to forget. Your children will forget. Set up this memorial so for years to come, people say, what's these stones there for? And you could tell them. You know where they came from? You see that raging river out there? We got them out of there. It was dry. Those priests were standing right there, right where those priests stood. We pulled these rocks up, these stones. We carried them on our shoulder, brought them across dry land. I mean, God just stopped the waters right there. Remember their parents, they all came across the Red Sea. God parted that sea for them. And here they are, they cross this Jordan. It says, you guys were there. You witnessed it, but yet you'll forget. Get these stones, set them across, set them up. They wanted to remind you where you came from, that God, it took God to bring you there. This wasn't just, you know, they skipped across when the river was low. No, this was a miracle of God. And he said, you need to remember this. But look, let's keep reading. And this is what I had missed, because it talks here about Joshua taking 12 stones, and I thought it was talking about the same thing. I just maybe read it over too fast. And you ever do that with the Bible? You're just reading and maybe to get done, and you just not paying attention to what God's saying here. But in verse number 8, the Bible says, and the children of Israel did as Joshua commanded and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them into the place where they lodged and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan. It's not the same thing. I see 12 stones, and I thought Joshua took those 12 stones that they brought where they lodged, and Joshua set them up. But that's not what it says. Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. For the priests which bear the Ark of the Ark stood in the midst of Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people according to all that Moses commanded Joshua, and the people hasted and passed over. This is a whole separate thing. These aren't the same 12 stones that those men gathered on their shoulder and brought across and laid down in the place where they lodged that night. These are 12 separate stones that Joshua gathered. And he took where the priests were sitting and put those 12 stones in that place where this priest stood holding that ark. As all the people came, sent those 12 men, they grabbed 12 stones from there, brought them out, and Joshua grabbed 12 stones and put them in the midst of the Jordan. Is that what the Bible says? He says he took the 12 stones, verse number 9, and Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, and to place the feet of the priests which bear the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. So after all this was over and the priest came out, and you can keep on, I was going to read the whole chapter, but I'm not going to do that this morning. They came out. He called the priest out. The priest, after everything was done, the priest came out of Jordan. When they stepped out of the Jordan, the water started flowing again and covered those 12 stones. And the Bible says they're there until this day. And you got to think, why in the world would he put 12 stones in the river to be never seen again? They're not there to remind them. They're not there to say, is there anything you left in the river? Well, actually, as a matter of fact, there was. We put 12 stones in the middle of the river. Oh, yeah, I almost forgot about that. Well, that's the point. Joshua was doing this as a sign, as a symbol. Joshua took those 12 stones, placed them in the midst of Jordan to be buried forever. Still there. This day. Those 12 stones that Joshua put in there are there to be buried forever. And it was a symbol of that life they're no longer going to live. They're not going to be a slave anymore. They don't need to be on that side of Jordan anymore. That life is over. God has given them this promised land, and Joshua is saying, you know what? There's some things we need to forget. Yes, these stones were brought out to remind us, but I'm going to take these stones as a symbol that we're going to forget. We don't want our children wondering, what was life back in Egypt? Well, let me tell you about that. We don't want you enticing your children to want to go to Egypt. We don't want you enticing your children to want to go on the other side of Jordan. Let's bury these stones. Let's keep them there. Let's keep them there the way they would be there forever. They weren't going to be slaves anymore. They weren't going to have to wander in the wilderness anymore. Those days were over. Praise the Lord. I mean, they were there for 40 years. You understand that? 40 years these people had wandered in the wilderness, going over the same old campfires because God had punished them for their lack of faith and says, you know what? The adults, you're not going to go. You'll die out here in the wilderness, but your children will make it in. And here they are now. For after 40 years, they're adults now. They're grown up, got families of their own, and they've crossed this Jordan, and now they have a home. They've crossed over into Canaan land. They have this land that God had given them, and Joshua's saying, you know what? Let's forget this wilderness. Let's forget those things. Let's not forget that God brought us out of that, but let's forget about it. Let's take these things and put them away. There's things that some people keep in their life that remind you of that past country, that first birth. Truly, if they've been mindful of that country from whence they came out, that you need to get rid of. You need to bury those stones in Jordan. You need to go back and throw that stone in Jordan and say, you know what? That's the past. That is the past. That's not me anymore. That's the old man. There's places you used to go, and God saved you out of that. You need to forget about. Some people in here were saved. I was saved as a young child, but some of you weren't. Some of you may have been a drunkard, sitting on a bar stool night after night. And God saved you out of that. Well, that's where all my buddies hang out, so I'm going to go out and hang out. I'm not going to have to drink. Yeah, we know. Truly, if they had been mindful, they might have had opportunity to return. You need to bury that stone. You need to bury that past life. You need to bury those things that remind you of that, that might tempt you in those hard times. Yeah, when everything's good and God's blessing, you can come to church and praise God and all these things, but you know what? There's storms in life. It rains on the just and the unjust. You think once you get saved that life's going to be smooth sailing from here on out? Sorry, you're mistaken. God didn't promise that. But God's promised to be with you through the storm. God promised that, but it doesn't mean you're not going to face those storms. It does not mean you're going to face those hard times. And the devil will tempt you during those hard times. And you think, well, this isn't the life I thought it was going to be. It's not about this life. I mean, God can help us through this life. And we got so many blessings through this life. But God says, you know what? There's a better life coming. I prepared a home for you. It's not here. This isn't our home. We're just pilgrims passing through. This isn't what I want you to set your roots down. And this I don't want you to focus on this only. While you're here, I got a job for you to do. While you're here, there's a will for you to do. And God says that there's a use for you to do. But this isn't where this isn't our final destination. We're just passing. This isn't home. God's got a better place prepared for us. And yes, when we get there, the hardships, yes, they're gone. The sorrow is gone. God says he's going to wipe away every tear. Because, you know, there would be no more crying in that land. Oh, thank God for that. I know for a fact, you don't have to raise your hand. I know for a fact, everybody in this room has shed tears. Everybody. You've been hurt. Maybe somebody hurt you, or you've just been hurt by saying goodbye to a loved one. I know some of you recently had to do that. Someone that's in the hospital that is suffering, you might have shed some tears for them. That's going to be done away with. God says there's that. At that day, when he wipes her tears away, said there'll be no more crying. Yeah, you might have had someone wipe your tears now, but then later on you cried. God, when God wipes our tears away, God says there'll be no more crying. Yes, so we're going to that. That's our land. But sometimes we remind ourselves and we go through those hard times and the devil reminds us, hey, remember those good times you used to have? Remember those buddies you always hung out with? Yeah. And you go back to where God brought you out of. Those children of Israel were saying, I want to go back. They did. I scratched my head and think, what is wrong with them? They kept complaining to Moses, we want to go back to Egypt. You forgot those nights you cried and God heard you and you cried and said, God, please deliver us from this. And God did, but yet, go through a couple hard times. God, I want to go back. I want to go back. And so many people, there's seats in here that are empty this morning because people never let go, never buried those stones. This one, you're not going to like it, but there's people in here, you got friends. And I don't mean you shouldn't love someone who's lost. You ought to love them. You ought to witness to them. But you need to sever those friendships. I get so worried when I see Christians get saved, but yet still hang out with the same people. You still hang out with the same people. It's not the Christian people. It's your friends that you've had forever, and you say, these are my good friends, yes. And you should do your best to witness to them so and tell them about Jesus, that he changed your life and he can change their life too. But so many of those are not here today. Well, I thought I'd change my friend. Well, like you've been warned, and I'm warning you today, most of the time, it happens the other way. You're getting reminded. You're being mindful of that country from whence you came. And you go back. You know it. You look around. You know who's been here and who's not. And you say, man, I don't know what happened to them. They're stones they never buried. When the hard times came, they're reminded. I want to go back. I want to go back. And you need to bury some stones. And Joshua did this. And again, I for so long I read this and just never understood. Many of us need to remember where God found us. What he did for you. Oh, yeah, you were once a drunk, but not no more. You were once immoral, but God saved you from that. A drug addict. I'm sure there's people in this room who were once addicted to drugs. And God saved you from that. God saved you out of that. And you need to remember that God saved you from that. Instead of looking when we have someone that comes through the back door of our church that they've a drunkard. Say, yeah, that was me before God changed my life. And welcome that person into the building. Oh, they still smell like alcohol. They've been drinking before they came to church. Yeah, what were you doing before you got saved? And remember, but for the grace of God, they just sang the song. If God hadn't found me, if God hadn't been there, but he was. And he saved your life, and then God could be there for them. Remember that he did this for you. Remember how disrespectful you were towards God and the things of God, Christians. You go out knocking on doors, and someone slams the door in your face and cusses you out. You used to say, yeah, I used to do that. That was me. Instead of getting all mad and puffy, how dare you talk to me that way? It's not about you. It's not about you. It's about the God you represent. And you did the same thing. Remember, where's those stones? Yeah. God brought me over Jordan. He brought me through that dry ground, changed my life. He could do it for them. So many of you need to remember, but also many of you need to bury those reminders of the country from which you came, those friends, those hobbies, those hangout places you used to go, or still do. That song that we sing for the children, the places I used to go, I don't go there anymore. Why? Because there's been a great change since I've been born again. Even the children, we're teaching it to the children. The things I used to say, the songs I used to sing, I don't sing them anymore. It's things that they're saying, you know, when there's a change in your life, you need to forsake it. And God's giving you a new life. When we get baptized, that's what that represents. Baptism does not wash your sins away. I hope everyone in here knows that. If you've been baptized and you think that you're saved now because you've been baptized, that Bible nowhere teaches that. Baptism is a symbol. It's a symbol that old life, that old man, that old country from which you came is gone. It's being buried. And you go down under the water. It's dead. And when you come up, and that's what we say, buried in the likeness of his death, raised to walk in newness of life. You're new. You're a new creature. You're a new person. You're a child of God now. You're different. Amen. And the things ought to be different. What? Know ye not? You ought to be different. You're a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You're now a child of God. You're different. You're no longer part of this world. You're no longer dead. Get out of that graveyard. You don't need to hang your tombstone up in your wall and say, yep, I'm dead. No, you're not. You're out of that. You're alive. You're a child of God. If it reminds you of when you were lost, bury it. And it's a hard balance there. Because you need to forget that life, but not forget that God brought you out of it. Remember that God brought you from that, but yet forget that life. It's no longer you. And I know it could be a hard thing as I'm talking about friends. I think that probably might be one of the biggest ones that people hold on to. And these have been my friends forever. But they remind you of that country from which you came. Be a witness. But instead of your normal Tuesday night hangouts or Friday night hangouts, say, you know what? I'm going to start a Bible study. My friend, my Bible study, I'll gladly open the Bible and we'll study the Bible together. And I'll teach them the Word of God and I'll keep witnessing to them. It probably won't be long before your friends stop hanging around you. And if they do keep hanging around you, you keep witnessing to them. Keep witnessing to them when they come around. Win them to Christ. Let God change their life so you can have that friendship back. A true friend would. You'd be a witness to them. But you're not going to hang out with them. You're not going to go to the places they go. Why? Because you're different. They're still dead in their trespasses and sins. And you're a child of God. And God's saying you need to bury these stones and you need to not be reminded. And truly, if they had been mindful of the country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to return. That verse is just I want it to keep running through your head. Keep running through your head. Hebrews 11, verse 15, and truly, if they had been mindful of the country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Bury those stones. While you're gathering those stones out of that river to say, you know what? I never want to forget what God did for me. And you set that memorial up and you say, God, thank you so much. Thank you so much for saving me. Thank you so much for bringing me out of that wilderness. Thank you so much for changing my life. And you set up that memorial, and then you take those other stones and you say, you know what? I don't want to remember that old life. And let's bury them. Let's bury them. Don't dig them up. Don't dig up those stones, don't go back. And that's why he put them in the river. He didn't just say, let's bury them here. He says, you know, let's put them in the river. And when God opens and lets that river flow again, we're never going back. We're never going back to that bottom of that river to get these stones out. They're gone forever. And the Bible says they're there until this day. And Joshua said, that's where they belong. That is where they belong. And that's where your life belongs. Your old life belongs there. Leave it. Let's all stand. We're going to have a time of invitation. I don't know.